I've recently come into possession of a strange object, and I was wondering if any of you could help me figure out what to do with it. A bit of background. I do freelance wedding photography as a side gig for my main job. Last week I got an offer out of the blue from a friend of a friend. Their first choice had to cancel at the last minute due to health reasons. I was only happy to make a bit of extra cash, so I threw my equipment in the back of my car and raced off to the hotel where the ceremony was taking place. It was a small place, and the wedding guests had it more or less booked. I was running slightly late due to the last-minute nature of the job, and was pretty anxious to get to the proper suite. The only problem was, I couldn't find it. I followed the directions the receptionist told me, and found myself wandering around a confusing maze of identical corridors. It was absolutely silent in there. I figured everyone was at the ceremony waiting for me to show up, and there were no windows. I guess it's because everyone has seen The Shining, but those long hallways lined with doors always seem to spook people out. They definitely had that effect on me. Anyways, I couldn't find the suite. I swear I ended up going in circles somehow, seeing room numbers that I had already passed. I tried retracing my steps back to the lobby, and I couldn't find that either. Several times, I caught a glimpse of someone walking ahead of me, just turning a corner. But they would never answer when I called out, and no matter how fast I ran after them, I couldn't seem to catch up with them. The thought crossed my mind that this was all some kind of huge joke, but who would possibly put that much effort into a prank? Eventually, I rounded a corner, sweating and seriously starting to panic. I heard music, and I followed the sound to the ceremony. There was lines of chairs with well-dressed people sitting on them. The walls of the room had been completely draped in white curtains, which was a bit more dramatic than most hotels usually go in for. There was a very faint, soft music emerging from what I guessed were speakers somewhere in the room. The room was extremely dim, as it was only lit by candles, so it took me a moment to locate the groom standing at the head of the room with the best man. I hurried over to him and started giving my apologies for being late, but he just smiled and waved at me. That's when I noticed the best man wasn't the friend who had given me the job, but it was someone that I had never seen before. Now keep in mind there was only one wedding happening at this hotel. Like I said, it was small. I don't know of many hotels that could support two weddings happening at the same time. "Do you know where my friend is?" I asked as politely as I could. The groom smiled again and said something. Here's the first really weird part of all of this. Everyone in that room spoke very quietly. I literally couldn't make out a word anyone was saying. It sounded like they were whispering. If I wasn't standing right in front of someone, it was like their mouths were moving, but no sound was coming out. At the time, I chalked it up to some freak problem with my hearing, and tried to do my job as best I could. So I set up all my stuff. The minister then arrived. It was a guy in this long black robe thing. It looked a bit gloomy for a wedding. I started doing my thing as the ceremony kicked into gear. The minister flapping his lips wordlessly, and that faint music coming from somewhere. The faces of the guests were only barely visible in the dim light, which is why it took me so long to notice some of the weird stuff in that room. I first saw the shroud as the bride was coming down the aisle. I had a glance at it earlier, as I was coming into the room, and I mistook it for a discarded coat or something. But now I saw that one of the seats was occupied by a white cloth draped over what was clearly a figure of a person. It wasn't moving. I stared at it for a bit, kind of startled, because I swear it looked like a dead body propped up in a chair. No one paid any attention to it, or even seemed to notice that it was there, but it kept drawing my eye. Then I started to notice other strange things, like a cage. At the back of the room was this enormous cage with something in it. I don't know what it was. Whatever it was, it had huge eyes, and I could see them flashing in the candlelight. There was some man standing over in the corner. He was dressed in a very stiff black suit, and he had very pale skin, pale enough that I could see him even in the dim light. His face had that kind of papery look. I kept waiting for him to sit down, but he just stood in his corner and stared at the guests. It was at this time the ceremony had reached the point to where the bride and the groom were standing in front of the minister. I couldn't hear what was being said, so I glanced through my photos quickly, and that's when the situation got even stranger. In the photos, the room was empty. There was no people in any of them, just rows of empty chairs. I started flicking through the pictures in disbelief, completely baffled. I've had cameras break and go on the fritz, but erasing guests from photos is impossible. Then I noticed the photos weren't completely empty. The pale man in the dark suit was still there, standing in his corner, staring out over empty chairs. I glanced up at him, and all of a sudden, he was staring right at me. Our eyes met, and that's when I noticed that there was nothing but two dark spots in his pale face. He grinned at me slowly. This sounds completely irrational, but it was like looking at him in the photo somehow drew his attention to me. And I very much knew that I did not want him paying attention to me. I knew it instinctively, in the back of my mind. The ceremony wrapped. I wasn't paying much attention to it by this point. The hotel staff started moving chairs off to the side. At least, I assumed it was the hotel staff. All I could see was dark forms moving stuff around. But it was so dim in there that it was hard to tell. By the time I thought to see what had been done with the shroud from earlier, that section of seats had already been moved, and I couldn't see it anywhere. Once the chairs were out of the way, the dancing started. That same quiet music playing while the guest waltzed slowly. I continued snapping photos, too unnerved to check how they were coming out. I kept seeing the pale man out of the corner of my eye, walking around among the dancers. If I looked to my side or over my shoulder, he would be standing there, about halfway across the room, looking at me and grinning. So I began to keep my gaze firmly ahead of me so I wouldn't have to see him. If you're thinking that this is starting to seem seriously out there, well, you're not alone. When I look back on the wedding now, the entire thing has this floaty, dreamlike quality to it. Like maybe it was just a nightmare, but I know it wasn't. I don't know why I didn't ask the bride or the groom what the hell was going on, or the pale man what his problem was. I just had this really strong feeling that I had to keep taking the photos, or else something bad was going to happen. That went on for a while. I'm not sure how long. It could have been hours, but I kept taking the photos and ignoring the pale man, always looking ahead of me, never to the sides or behind. I could still hear the music faintly playing behind it all, just at the edge of my hearing. At some point, I realized that things were starting to wind down. I came out of my daze a bit. I approached the bride and groom apologetically, not sure how to explain the photos, but neither of them seemed to mind the empty chairs. In fact, they seemed happy with it. The groom produced a small lavender box from the pocket of his suit and pushed it into my hands. I stumbled out of the room and back into the empty corridors, not entirely sure where I was going. I was still dazed. Halfway down the corridor, something tugged at the back of my mind, and I turned around to see the pale man standing at the end of the hallway, grinning at me wider than ever. As soon as he realized that I was looking at him, he started to walk swiftly towards me, moving impossibly fast. In less than 2 seconds, he had covered half of the distance between us. I'm not entirely sure why, but I reflexively held the groom's box out. I thought it was going to ward him off, or I was going to use it as some kind of weapon. He stopped dead in his tracks and gave me a wide grin, showing me two rows of immaculately straight white teeth. He started to slowly walk backward down the hallway, staring at me the entire time. The last I saw of him was one dark eye peeping at me around the corner until he vanished completely from sight. I stumbled down the rest of the hallway and turned a corner, and then all of a sudden there were people milling around everywhere and the noisy buzz of conversation. It hit me like a solid brick wall, and I actually stumbled backwards, almost falling flat on my back. My friend, the one who had offered me the job, came sprinting through the crowd, looking extremely agitated, he demanded to know where I had been and why I hadn't been at the wedding. I tried to explain to him that I was, only there was something wrong with the photos. When I tried to show him all the pictures, they were just black, or at least that's what I thought at first. It was only later when I got home and took a closer look that I saw a small sliver of light coming from a door and realized that I had an SD card full of photos of a pitch-black empty room. For a few weeks, I wondered if I was losing my mind. Then I found the small purple box the groom had given me, and I opened it. Resting on a bed of red silk was a pearly white spinal vertebra. I still have it on my nightstand, in its little box. I was going to throw it away, but then I thought of the pale man with the dark eyes, and the way the box had seemed to ward him off in that hallway, and I decided that maybe I should hold on to it after all. What do you guys think? Here's a story about when my sister Kelly and her husband Frank got married. This was back about 15 years ago. When she got married, I was a flower girl, but I was only 10 at the time. My sister used to tease me about how I was a mistake due to our age gap, so I was not involved with most of the planning or preparation. So according to my sister, planning the wedding started out great. She was one of those girls who had been planning their wedding since they first started talking about it. She knew exactly what she wanted. She had gotten a surprising amount done in the first few months for a woman who worked as a nurse and had to watch me often while our parents went out of town. The only bump in the road was the location. Both my parents and her husband's parents are extremely devout Catholics, and since they were helping them pay for the wedding, they demanded that it be in a church. As the semi-rebellious offspring they were, they wanted it to be in anything but. After a big fight between all of them, both sets of parents backed down as they realized that it was their day, and they compromised by letting them pick the priest who would marry them. She spent forever trying to pick the perfect place out. Everywhere was either booked for the weekend that she planned, she was really stubborn about that date, or couldn't accommodate her needs for the price. A few weeks passed, and she is beyond frustrated, as you can imagine. Almost borderline hysterical. On her way back from the florist one day, an older woman was handing out flyers for a fundraiser for a local mansion that was on the verge of being torn down. The fundraiser was trying to raise money to turn this house into a historical landmark due to the age of the place. But like a cheesy 1980s movie, there were some bank villains trying to turn the land into some shopping center. She fell in love with the place. The flyers had pictures and paintings of when the mansion was in its heyday, filled with parties and laughter, and lots of gold and antiques. At the same time, she had no idea why such a beautiful place was left to fall by the wayside. She ended up going to the fundraiser, and talking to the proprietor of the house, she offered a deal she couldn't refuse. She would help to pay for the restoration of the place, on the basis that she could have her wedding there free of charge. Of course, the woman accepted. Kelly had not anticipated the consequences of this transaction. After they had finalized the deal, everything started going wrong. The florist died of a heart attack. The catering place was shut down by the health department. The place where she got her wedding dress had a mix-up and ordered the wrong gown for her. And Frank's father lost his job. It was turning into a nightmare. The renovations were taking slower than imagined, but nobody would give her clear answers as to why. Something about high turnover of workers, that was the most that she could ever get out of them. They decided to postpone the wedding until the next year, due to the shitstorm that rained on them. Fast forward to the next year. Everything slowly worked itself out for the most part. She found new florists and caterers, and got the correct dress. Frank's father did not find a new job, so they had to downsize their house. 2 weeks before the wedding, the final touches were put on the house. I vaguely remember my sister freaking out over how beautiful it looked. I later learned that it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. She apparently kept hearing someone calling her name when no one was there. seeing doors close by themselves, lights going on and off. The day of the wedding was the first time most of us had seen the house finished up. It was magnificent. Gold trim on everything, flowers on every surface, beautifully tiled floors, marble countertops, really the whole works. It seems they spared no expense in restoring the mansion to its glory days. The actual ceremony went fine, no hiccups. After the ceremony, we had to do the obligatory family and wedding party photos. When we walked outside, someone had put up picket signs advertising for the mall. Both my family and my brother-in-law's family were furious. They had the groomsmen pull them all out and throw them into the dumpster. They had a really talented wedding photographer, but they gave me a disposable camera to screw around and get silly pictures, since I was the only child at the wedding and was bored as hell. It was as much fun as you would expect for a 10-year-old being forced to take a million pictures. Once the pictures were over, we came back inside for the reception. All the adults were already drinking their fill and snacking on the hors d'oeuvres. During cocktail hour, they had to cancel sending out soup shot appetizers, as the pot was filled with mold and maggots. The chef swears that it had not been like that earlier that day. My family was worried that one of the bank villains was trying to sabotage their wedding, so we secretly kept an eye out for any more mischief. Dinner started and everyone was enjoying their meals. Out of nowhere, we heard a loud thump above us. My mother shot my father a look, and my father got up to investigate. 10 minutes later, we heard screaming. I will never forget that screaming. Blood curdling, spine tingling, nauseating. Everyone in the room froze. My brother, cousin, and Frank's two brothers flew out of their chairs to see what the screaming was about. I was never told how exactly they found my father's body, other than the fact that I was too young to know. It must have been pretty bad. I'm obviously older now, and still no one will tell me. After that, everyone was panicking. Most of the family didn't have cell phones at the time, so someone had to run and call 911. The lines were all dead. This is when everyone really started to freak out. A few people tried to go outside, but the doors were all locked. Suddenly, a faint smell of smoke crawled into my nose. I remember trying to tell my mother, but she was too busy trying to calm down the other guests. I decided to take matters into my own hands, since I assumed it was one of the guys messing with us from the bank. I grabbed a fire poker, like that would have done much good against some guy probably 3 times my size, and started up the other flight of stairs. The smell of smoke got stronger and stronger as I advanced, but I did not see any fire yet. The people who I've talked to about this next part think the smoke went to my head, and I was hallucinating from the lack of oxygen. But I swear to this day that this was not the case. As I walked down the hallway trying to find the source of the fire, the doors to the room started opening and closing by themselves. They seemed to follow me as I walked forward, slamming in my ears. I decided to book it to find the next staircase. I find the stairs and whip around the banister, only to almost shit myself. At the top of the stairs was a man, hanging from the chandelier. In the background was a roaring fire. I screamed bloody murder, and spun around to immediately be grabbed. I flail about as the figure holding me began yelling, but I'm too freaked out to listen. It let go of me and I turned around to behold the terror. It turned out to be my brother. He yells at me for being up here, gives me his handkerchief to cover my mouth, and we ran back down the hallway together. As we were running, I hear a giggle and turn around to see a child standing in the hallway. As I grab my brother to show him, the girl ripped apart in a bloody torrent. Of course, he turned around, and the hallway was completely empty. He grabbed my hand and continued to pull me forward as the ceiling started falling down in burning piles. We made it out of the house just in time before the fire reached the gas main and there was an explosion. It was devastating, including my father. 62 of my family and friends were killed out of the 110 guests that attended. The rest made it by breaking windows and jumping out. The house was destroyed. An investigation was carried out, but the cause of the fire remained a mystery. We mourned the loss of our loved ones the best we could, but nothing felt right. Fast forward to now. Unfortunately, my mother has developed multiple sclerosis. 3 weeks ago, she asked me to help her clean out her basement, since she is moving into an assisted living facility. I was going through some boxes, and I came across some of my old stuff. I opened up a bag and found some rock-hard candy, not the good kind, and my disposable camera. I decided to take it and see if any of the pictures survived. Most of them did not. The colors were faded, or the contrast was all messed up. I got about 4 that were good enough to keep, not that I needed a reminder of the worst day of my life. I was going through the pictures last week while drinking coffee. As soon as I saw this picture, I dropped my mug. The little girl in this picture is the same one I saw down the hallway as I was running for my life. I haven't slept well since. I've been extremely paranoid, and I've been getting really bad migraines. No one in my family talks about that day, nor would they believe me if I explained to them what happened. I feel like I'm losing my mind, and I just needed to share this with someone.
There's always a reason to be afraid.